Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Kings, the 21st chapter. 1 Kings, chapter 21, page 417 in your Schofield Reference Bible. We'll be reading the first 16 verses, verses 1 through 16. These verses we'll read responsively. 1 Kings, chapter 21, verses 1 through 16. May we stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. And it came to pass, after these things, that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. And Ahab spake unto Naboth, saying, Give me thy vineyard, that I may have it for a garden of herbs, because it is near unto my house. And I will give thee for it a better vineyard than it, or, if it seem good to thee, I will give thee the worth of it in money. And Naboth said to Ahab, The Lord forbid it me, that I should give the inheritance of my fathers unto thee. And Ahab came into his house, heavy and displeased, because of the word which Naboth the Jezreelite had spoken to him, for he had said, I will not give thee the inheritance of my fathers. And he laid him down upon his bed, and turned away his face, and would eat no bread. But Jezebel, his wife, came to him, and said unto him, Why is thy spirit so sad, that thou eatest no bread? And he said unto her, Because I spake unto Naboth the Jezreelite, said unto him, Give me thy vineyard for money, or else, if it please thee, I will give thee another vineyard for it. And he answered, I will not give thee my vineyard. And Jezebel, his wife, said unto him, Dost thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give thee the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, and sealed them with his seal, and sent the letters unto the elders, and to the nobles that were in his city, dwelling with Naboth. And she wrote in the letters, saying, Proclaim a fast, and set Naboth in high among the people, and set two men, sons of Belial, before him, to bear witness against him, saying, Thou didst blaspheme God and the king, and then carry him out, and stone him, that he may die. And the men of his city, even the elders and the nobles, who were the inhabitants in his city, did as Jezebel had sent unto them, and as it was written in the letters which she had sent unto them. They proclaimed a fast, and set Naboth on high among the people. And there came in two men, children of Belial, and sat before him. And the men of Belial witnessed against him, even against Naboth, in the presence of the people, saying, Naboth did blaspheme God and the king. Then they carried him forth out of the city, and stoned him with stones, that he died. Then they sent to Jezebel, saying, Naboth is stoned and is dead. And it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth was stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, Arise, take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give thee for money. For Naboth is not alive, but dead. And it came to pass, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab rose up to go down to the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite to take possession of it. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this evening, and we're confident of thy presence. Thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together, thou wouldst be in the midst of them. And here we are, this great crowd. Thank you for these many who've come, but bless in an unusual way with thy power and with thy spirit's closeness that we would benefit from all that's said and done in this wonderful gathering. And so bless with power our preacher and help us to hear as we should, as would benefit us, as would please thee. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our Heavenly Father, now we come to the preaching of thy word. I pray you would help it to be done in the power of the Holy Spirit. I need your help always. And I pray in a special way tonight that you let me have your help. And then as I receive help and strength and power from you, I pray that the people of God shall listen to the message from the Word of God. Bless the service tonight, please, in a special way. Amen. Naboth had a vineyard next to the palace occupied by the wicked king Ahab and the even more wicked queen Jezebel. Ahab wanted that vineyard. Are you listening? Ahab wanted that vineyard. It's not ever a good idea for you to want something you don't have. Be content with what you have. Ahab would look out his window, the window of the palace. He would see that vineyard that adjoined his property. And Ahab said, I want that vineyard. So he sent for Naboth, and he said to Naboth, I'd like to have your vineyard. Naboth said, no way. It's handed down from one generation to another. It's been historically owned by my family, and there's no way that I would let you have that vineyard. Ahab said, look, Naboth, I'll give you another vineyard, bigger and nicer than that one. You just let me trade you one vineyard, because I want your vineyard. It adjoins palace and my land, and I want your vineyard. I'll give you another one for it, one that's far better than yours. And Naboth said, no way, your majesty, your honor, there's no way. That vineyard is very sacred to me and to my family. It was handed to me from my father. It was handed to him from his father. Are you listening? It was handed to him, his father from his father. And it's been important to us, this vineyard. Ahab said, okay. If you won't let me have your vineyard, and if I can't give you another one in its place, he said, let me buy it from you. Name the price. And Naboth said, in so many words, you couldn't afford it. I mean, you haven't got enough money to buy my vineyard. You see, my vineyard is not for sale. There's no way I'm going to let you have it. And Ahab said, now look, you understand it. I want your vineyard. I'll give you the finest I've got in its place. I'll give you the best price you could ever get. I want your vineyard. And Naboth said, it's not for sale. Well, Ahab said, okay, I'll kill you. And Naboth said, kill away. But my vineyard is not for sale. And so Ahab goes and turns his head toward the wall and goes to bed. And he won't leave the bed. Jezebel comes in and says, what's wrong with you, sweetie face? And he says, I want that vineyard. And he won't let me have it. And she said, what? In her own feminine manner. And he said, I want that vineyard. In his with his masculinity. And she said, okay, I'll get it for you. So, but Ahab had said to Naboth, I want the vineyard. He said, I'll kill you. And Naboth said, go ahead and kill me. But you can't have the vineyard. It's not for sale. There's nothing you could give me that would replace it. It's the vineyard of mine, belonged to my dad, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, my great-great-grandfather. It's a family vineyard. It's been ours, and I aim to keep it. Jezebel planned deceitfully a series of events whereby Naboth and his sons were stoned to death. Not only Naboth, but his sons. That means there was nobody to inherit it, no son left to inherit the vineyard. So Naboth and his sons were stoned to death, and Jezebel had him dragged through the city and let the dogs devour him. She had the sons dragged through the city, the dead body, and let the dogs devour his sons. Now, the main thing I see here is the character of Naboth. Naboth said that there's something I wouldn't sell out for. He said there's something that the world doesn't have enough price to buy for me. He said there's something not for sale. Brother, that's almost extinct in 1985. I mean, it's almost impossible to find people that will say, who have enough integrity and decency and character to say something is not for sale. You haven't got enough money to buy it. It's not for sale. Now, I want to say this tonight. Ahab covets your vineyard. The wicked king Ahab covets your vineyard. He wants your life. He wants to wreck your life. He wants to ruin your life. He covets your vineyard. The wicked king Ahab tonight wants your vineyard. He covets your talent. You know, the other day I was watching the news in Pennsylvania, and there was a special interview on the newscast interviewing a rock group. And they asked the question, where did you start your singing? And they said, in the church choir. You'd be shocked if you knew how many of the heathen singers got their start in the church choir. Watch out, folks, got the heathen singers up in the night. I mean, you look at the next prince over here tonight. I mean, the next Michael Jackson somewhere over here tonight. But you'd be shocked if you knew how many of the heathen stars in music got their start in the church choir. Now, I'm saying that the devil came and said, I want your vineyard. And they said, no way. And the devil said, I'll give you popularity and money and fame. And they said, okay, God's given me the talent. And boy, there's nothing makes the God any sicker than a bunch of heathen people to say, well, I'm Christian, but God gave me the talent, and I'll use it to entertain people. Brother, if the music is heathen, the devil is the one that made you use it for the world. I'm saying that God tonight comes and says to you that the heathen king Ahab wants your talent. He wants your voice. He wants your personality. He wants your looks. He doesn't want your looks, but he wants your looks. He wants your talent. And the heathen king comes and says, sell it to me. And you say, no, no. And he raises the price. Sell it to me. No, no. He raised the price. Sell it to me. And I'll guarantee you, there are very few people left. There are very few preachers in this nation that don't have a price on their ministry these days. There are very few people left in this world. I'm talking about, brother, we need some folks. We need folks in the White House to say, I'm not for sale. We need folks in the Congress to say, I'm sorry, I'm not for sale. We need folks in the Supreme Court to say, I'm sorry, I'm not for sale. We need Christian workers to say, I'm sorry, I'm not for sale. You haven't got enough money to buy my purity. You haven't got enough money to buy my decency. You haven't got enough money to buy my character. You haven't got enough popularity for me to sell out. I'm not for sale. Thank God for Naboth. He said, I don't care if you are the king, buddy. He said, huff and puff, do you blow my house down? You're not going to get my vineyard. I'm not going to sell it to you. But he said, let me give you a lot of money. He's not for sale. You haven't got enough money. Let me give you another vineyard. You haven't got a vineyard. You could buy mine. That, listen, my daddy gave me that. And my granddaddy gave him that. And my great-granddaddy gave him that. And my great-great-granddaddy gave him that. Faith of our fathers living still
in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. God, give us some old-fashioned preachers who will say that the faith that our fathers for which they fought, and the faith which our grandfathers fought, and the book for which our founding fathers fought, and the freedom which our founding fathers fought, it's not for sale. No way you can buy it from me. You can't buy my character. You can't buy my virtue. You can't buy my purity. You can't buy my honesty. You can't buy my decency. It's not for sale. I say, Naboth wants your vineyard tonight. Naboth wants your vineyard. He wants your brain. He wants you to go to some heathen university somewhere. He wants your brain. He wants some heathen godless professor. And boy, I wish I could talk to you parents tonight. I wish you knew what's out there lurking in the shadows of these heathen universities waiting for your young folks. I wish you knew that. Devil says, I want you to go to one of these pagan universities, and I want you to may have your mind. Somebody ought to say, you can't have my mind. It's not for sale. Not for sale. Not for a degree from Harvard. I wouldn't sell out for a degree from Harvard. I wouldn't sell out for a degree from Princeton. I wouldn't sell out for a degree from Yale. I wouldn't sell out for a degree from University of Chicago. I wouldn't sell out. Why? Because my character and my faith, my daddy gave to me, and my mama gave it to me, and my granddaddy gave it to me, and godly preachers of old gave it to me, and it's not for sale. I'm not going to sell it. Ahab said, I want you. Want your talent, want your brain. The devil says, I want your body. I want your mind. I want your mind to dwell on impure thoughts. I want your mind to dwell on the television soap operas, ladies. The devil says, ladies, I want your mind. I want your mind for corruption. I want your mind to think about immorality. I want your mind to think about indecency. I want your mind, young people. I want your mind. And the devil look. And by the way, the devil, he covets the young people in this room more than he covets any young folks in the world, because he knows we got the cream of the crop. He knows that. The devil says, I want your purity. I want your mind. I want your body. I want your brain. I want your talent. I want your life. Put a not for sale sign on it. Not for sale. Not for sale. No price could buy it. No price could take my conscience away. No price could take my purity away. No price could take my decency away. No price could take my honesty away. No price could take my virtue away. No way, old devil. No way you're going to get me to sell out, no care how big your price is. Last week, I drove to the very spot where I knelt 37 years ago, 36 years ago. I drove to the very spot where three men met me when I was called to my first full-time church. And those three men, the very spot, stood on the very spot where I met them the first time, and they said to me late one night after midnight, you've been called to this church, but we are the ones that pay the bills. And you will not walk in that pulpit. You've been voted in this church, but we voted against you. And just a bunch of kids voted for you. Only one adult and a bunch of kids, and we'll see to it, young man, you won't walk in that pulpit. And I said, young fellows, I said, I've been called to the First Baptist Church of Leesburg, Texas, with a unanimous call. That's where I want to go. But I said, if God calls me and leads me to become pastor of Grange Hall Baptist Church out in the country from Marshall, Texas, it'll take more than you three fellows to keep me out of that pulpit next Sunday morning. And I drove to the very spot where I got out of a little 1941 Dodge and got on my knees beside the open door of the Dodge and made God five promises that I've kept all these years. I promised God that night about 3 o'clock in the morning, in the wee hours of the morning, I promised God I'd be a friend to my friends. I promised God that money would never be an issue in my ministry. I promised God that nobody would meddle with my preaching. Nobody. Nobody. I mean, that's a pope. That's Southern Baptist Convention. That's big wig preachers. That's the seminary professors. That's all the deacons that are pastored and all the church people and all everybody. I promised God nobody would ever mess with my preaching but God. Number four, I promised God I would always base my decisions on whether they're right or wrong. I would never do something in order to get an opportunity to do something else. I'll never do something wrong in order to get a chance, as Dr. Bob used to say. I'll not do something wrong, in an effort to get a chance to do something right. That means if I've got to do something wrong to pastor a big church, I'll pastor a little church. That means if I've got to do something wrong to draw a crowd, I won't draw a crowd. That means if I've got to do something wrong to be successful, I won't be successful in men's eyes. And I made God a holy vow in the wee hours that morning that I'd make my decisions on the basis of what's right and what's wrong. And then I made God the fifth promise. I'd be loyal to principles and not to institutions. I'd be loyal to principles. I'm saying this. They don't make enough money to buy me out on these five things. They don't make enough popularity to buy me out on these five things. They don't make enough blackmail to buy me out on these five things. I will not do wrong in order to get a chance to do right. I will base my loyalty on principles. My preaching is between me and God and nobody else. My preaching will not ever be, I've never talked to anybody concerning money for my services, and I'll be a friend to my friend. And none of this is up for negotiation. None of it. None of it. You know, this whole country is about bereft of folks that won't sell out. As long as a fellow's out of office, he tells all the integrity he'd have if he were in office. And then he gets in office and succumbs to the same old temptation to get reelected. We need some politicians in our halls of government who will stand up and say, okay, I'll do what's right if I never get reelected again. Naboth said, I'm not for sale. He said, Your Majesty, that vineyard was handed down from my father and grandfather and great-grandfather. It's a family vineyard. But I want it. I want it. It's next to my palace. It's not for sale. But I'll give you a top price. It's not for sale. But I'll give you a better vineyard. It's not for sale. The king's entourage sleeps through a country. We have turned from King Ahab to King Solomon. King Solomon, as he journeys with his entourage, sees a lovely young lady. He wants her for his harem. He sends for her. He tells her that he wants her to be his. She says, but Your Majesty, I love a little shepherd lad. He has no money. He has no property. He has a shepherd's crook and a few little lambs. But I love him. He's up in the hills. He's not with me now, but I love him. Why, said King Solomon. No, you understand? I could put diamonds on your fingers. She said, but I love a little shepherd lad. But he said, don't you understand? I can put furs on your back. She said, but Your Majesty, I love a little shepherd lad. But he said, I could put gems in coffers. But Your Majesty, I love a little shepherd lad. Solomon says, but can he offer you jewels? No, but I love a little shepherd lad. Can he offer you riches? No, but I love the little shepherd lad. Well, can he offer you fame? No, but I love the little shepherd lad. Can he offer you popularity and influence and power and social status? No, sir, he can't. He has no money. He has no houses. He has no land, but I love him. I tell you, I want you. Well, you just want all you want, old king. I love my little boy back up in the hill. I'm not for sale. He said, let me see if I can up the price. She said, you can't up it high enough to get me, buddy. After she left King Solomon, some of his harem women heard her talking to the king like that. And they said, hey, tell us something. You turned down an offer to have the royal crown on your brow. You turned down the offer to wear the royal robe on your back. You turned down the offer for jewels and fame and power and influence and popularity. Why? She said, I got a little shepherd boy up there in the fields. I got a crush on him. I love him. And these women said, you mean you love him so much you turned down the riches of the throne? Yeah, that's what it is. You turned down the jewels, the crown jewel? Yeah, that's what it is. You turned down the wardrobe of royalty? Yeah, that's what it is. Wow. Tell us about this fellow. She said, let me tell you about him. I'm glad you asked. And when she got through describing him, these women said, whither is thy beloved gone that we may seek him with thee? He was saying, I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. It's not worth it for me to get in a parked car just to get a date with the hottest guy in the school to sell out my decency. I'm not for sale. I don't care if he's fullback on the football team and center on the basketball team and captain of the track team, pitcher on the baseball team, and Mr. Hook of the school. He's not going to buy me off. I'm not for sale. I don't care if I never become a cheerleader, never become the most popular girl in school. I don't care if I never become the senior beauty queen. I don't care. I'm not for sale. God give us some old-fashioned young folk who got the Christian gumption and intestinal fortitude to say, you can't buy me off. My decency is too precious to me, and I'm not for sale. God give us some young men who have the courage to stand up and say, go ahead, old world. I'm not going to listen to rock music just because my peers make fun of me. I'm not going to determine how I behave because of peer pressure. You just mark it down, buddy. I'm not for sale. And I'll guarantee you this, brother. Young lady and young man, you go ahead and do what you know is right to do. I don't care who laughs at you. I don't care who makes fun of you. I don't care who sneers at you. I don't care who kicks you out of the crowd. You stand up and say, on Christ the solid rock I stand, and this is my conviction. I'm not for sale. Now, guarantee you, you'll live to see the day you'll be glad you did. He said, I'm sorry, Your Majesty, but I'm just not interested in becoming the queen. He said, you're a fool. I'm not. I'm in love. And you know what your trouble is? Your trouble when you sell your virtue and sell your purity and sell your soul for less. You know what your trouble is? Your trouble is not you want to do right or wrong. Your trouble is you're not in love with the good shepherd. When you get where you love Jesus enough, you'll stand for him. You get where you love Jesus enough, you'll not kowtow to the heathen world. You get where you love Jesus enough, you'll have enough grit and gumption to stand up. Your problem is you don't love Jesus. Look, this little gal, she liked money like anybody else does. But she was in love with the shepherd boy. She liked nice clothes like any other lady would. Our daughter's been home and there's no use in going shopping anywhere in this area. Everything's already bought up. One of them sent me a little poster. All it had on it was, when the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. And our daughters are the three toughest girls you ever saw in your life. I wish they could be in church tonight, but they're shopping. Any lady likes pretty clothes. But this little girl liked pretty clothes, but not enough to betray the shepherd lad. She liked pretty jewels, but not enough to betray the shepherd lad. She liked to be popular, but not enough to betray the shepherd lad. She said, Your Majesty, I don't care if you do want me. I'm not for sale. You won't get me, buddy. You don't have enough jewels in your crown to buy me. You don't have enough dresses in your wardrobe to buy me. You don't have enough jewels and gems in your coffers to buy me. You don't have a big enough throne to buy me. You don't have a great enough diadem to buy me. I'm not for sale. I love the little shepherd lad. She was saying, I'm not for sale, not for popularity, not to get a date, not for money, not for thrills, not for fame, not for position. I'm not for sale. A wicked king throws a party. We turn from King Ahab, who coveted the vineyard of Naboth. We turn from King Solomon, who coveted the little Shunammite girl. We turn now to another king. He sits on the throne. He throws a party for his governors, his princes, and his nobles. Liquor begins to flow. Drunkenness seizes the delegates. And the drunk king says, where's my wife? Where's my wife? Somebody says, Queen Vashti, your husband called for you. He says, honey, I want to show him how pretty you are. Come here and strip off your clothes and have a strip tease and show him what a pretty body my wife's got. And Queen Vashti said, I'm sorry, honey, but I can't go. I don't think God ever intended for a woman to obey her husband if he says, get drunk, strip off naked. Now, if that be treason, make the most of it. Queen Vashti said, I'm not going to display my body for the wicked, drunken delegates. I'm not going to do it. Don't you want to keep the crown jewels? No, I'd rather keep my crown decency. I'm not for sale. I'd rather rot in riotous rags than revel in soiled royal riches. I'd rather wear a crown of thorns with a clear conscience than to wear an ill-gotten crown because I yielded my convictions. I'd rather be right than rich. You understand, don't you? You'll come in here and do what I say and strip off your clothes and give us a new display and let the men see how a pretty body my wife has. You understand, don't you? You won't be queen anymore. She said, yes, sir, but there's something more important to me than being a queen. There's something more important to me than wearing a crown. I'm not for sale. I'm not for sale. Give me some young folks at Hammond Baptist High School who wouldn't let the worldly crowd call them squares. Give us some young people, Hammond Baptist High School. We're proud to be called straight. Because opposite of straight is crooked, and that's what the other crowd is. Give us some young men in Hiles Anderson College who will circle this country and this world with the message of God, never to dip a sail, never to dip a conviction. Why? Because they're not for sale. Give us some businessmen who won't sell their Christianity for a dollar or a few thousand. And give us a generation of Christian people who will say with Naboth, no way. It's not for sale. But Daddy gave it to me. His daddy gave it to him. It's been my family all these years. I want to give it to my boys. I'll tell you something tonight. Jezebel made a big public occasion for Naboth and his sons And then, as always, the devil does, he slays you when you think he's honoring you. And they thought they were being honored. And all of a sudden they were seized and stoned to death. And I can see them as they took their feet and dragged their bodies down the cobblestone streets or down the stone-covered streets. And I can see their heads as they bounced off the streets and their brains as they fell out of their heads. And I come to the place where their bodies lie and I see the dogs for days coming to eat the flesh of their dead bodies. 10,000 times I'd rather be Naboth there than be Ahab in the palace. And by the way, that vineyard won't satisfy Ahab when he gets it. Sorry, Your Honor. It's not for sale. There's some things more important to me than money or land or nicer vineyards. There's some things for which I'd die, and that vineyard is one of them. Your Honor, I don't mean to be disrespectful. And I'm glad that you think I'm attractive, and I'm glad you find me appealing. And I don't have any clothes to wear, maybe just what I got on, not much else. I have no diamonds on my fingers or bracelets on my wrist. I have no necklace that I wear. Nobody knows me outside, just a few people back home. And Your Honor, I'm honored that you would want me. And what woman wouldn't like to be a queen? But I love the shepherd boy. He's mine and I'm his and I love him. You can't buy me off. You may kill my body, but you can't kill my soul, my spirit. You may kill that which you see, but you can't kill my character, my decency. And I'd rather lie in state on the streets of Jerusalem than to give up my shepherd boy for all the riches of your kingdom. Your Honor, I believe the body of a woman is sacred. I don't believe it ought to be on public display, whether it's on the beach or at a drunken party. And basically, they're one and the same. You see, my body is sacred, and my body is not for sale. You're not going to make me do wrong. The crown doesn't have enough jewels. Your rings don't have enough diamonds. And your coffers don't have enough precious stones. And your wardrobe doesn't have enough dresses. And your storage doesn't have enough furs. I'm going to do right. I'm not for sale. How about you? Our Heavenly Father, do Thou give us people of character. Do Thou give character.